The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink and criminalize our
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you. You had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, good day, toasters and toquettes, and welcome. It is Friday, December 14th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world, and that is absolutely the wrong icons and chyrons and everything, and I want to apologize to everyone for the show today. Right off the top, I'm a little bit sick, slept in very long, and when I woke up today, I found that over, 18, 19, 5 to 8-year-olds had been massacred by gunfire in an elementary school in Connecticut. And so I should have been putting the show together, and I should have been researching marijuana stories and trying to put something together for a show today. But, with a school, with a mall shooting that happened just 7 miles south of me on Wednesday, and now this today, my mind is elsewhere. So I apologize. And for today's show, we'll start off with our hemp headlines. We'll take a look at some of the latest news. There was one big breaking story in the news with respect to marijuana legalization. President Obama had an interview with Barbara Walters. We'll get into that and tell you what some of the details are in that interview. Also, we've got some other news coming to us from Detroit, where their decriminalization that they voted for is being questioned by the police and the prosecutors. They're not sure how to deal with it. Senator Patrick Leahy from the Judiciary Committee has some good news for us, or at least some suggestions for us, to help deal with the federal and state conflict over marijuana laws. Today at 5:30 for our interview, we're going to be speaking with Dave Bienenstock, the West Coast editor of High Times Magazine. He's going to give us a preview of the new February 2013 High Times issue and a look at his new ebook that he just put out called Legalized It. That's right, past tense, Legalized It by Dave Bienenstock. We'll get that to you at 5:30. And then at 5:45 for the Radical Rant, if you're tired of this gun subject and you think this is a pot show and you don't want to hear anything about guns, you should turn the show off now, because I can't not talk about this today. I just can't not talk about this today. So this won't happen often. We won't venture away from the marijuana issue very often. But my mind won't let me go anywhere else today. So stick around. That is, if you want to stick around.
Smoke trees till you get what you need now. Designer drugs and midget smoke to get through the day. You always get them so high.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights.
Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Yar, there be pirates here. Yo, ho, ho, ho. And a ton of good smoke. Har, har.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it. And didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
I said, hey, do you have a joint, kids? Girl, would be a lot cooler if you did. Lie to don't hide it. Oh, lie to don't hide it. Just lie to don't hide it. Fire it up right now.
Now it's time for our 420 headline news. Kerry Gallagher's on holiday break. I'm Russ Belville with the news. President Obama says marijuana not a high priority for the Obama administration. President Obama says recreational users of marijuana in states that have legalized the substance should not be a, quote, top priority, end quote, of federal law enforcement officials prosecuting the war on drugs. We've got bigger fish to fry, Obama said of pot users in Colorado and Washington during an exclusive interview with ABC News' Barbara Walters. Quote, it would not make sense for us to see a top priority as going after recreational users in states that have determined that it's legal, end quote, he said, invoking the same approach taken toward users of medicinal marijuana in 18 states where it's legal. Obama's comments on marijuana are his first following Colorado and Washington voters' approval of a November 7th ballot measure that legalized recreational use and sale of pot in defiance of federal law in those states. Quote, this is a tough problem because Congress has not yet changed the law, Obama said. I head up the executive branch. We're supposed to be carrying out laws. And so what we're going to need is to have a conversation about how do you reconcile a federal law that still says marijuana is a federal offense and state laws that say it's legal, end quote. Attorney General Eric Holder on Wednesday said of the review that's underway on marijuana policy, quote, there are a number of issues that have to be considered, among them the impact that drug usage has on young people, and we have treaty obligations with nations outside the United States, end quote. In his interview with Barbara Walters, Obama mentions his 1995 memoir, Dreams for My Father, where he mentions being a part of the Chum gang and being a frequent pot smoker. Obama told Walters, quote, there are a bunch of things I did that I regret when I was a kid. My attitude is, substance abuse generally is not good for our kids, not good for our society. I want to discourage drug use, he said. I never made a commitment that somehow we were going to give carte blanche to large-scale producers and operators of marijuana, and the reason is it's against federal law, Obama told Rolling Stone in an interview earlier this year. From Huffington Post Detroit, Detroit's marijuana decriminalization policy puzzles police and prosecutors. More than a month after Detroiters resoundingly approved Proposal M, a local ballot initiative to decriminalize pot in the city, local law enforcement agencies are still sorting out how it affects policing and prosecution of marijuana possession. The measure, which went into effect in late November, amends city code to exempt adults over the age of 21 from being prosecuted for the possession of less than an ounce of marijuana on private property. This past summer, former Detroit Police Chief Ralph Godby, who resigned in October as a result of a sex scandal, said if the measure passed, the department might continue to enforce existing state and federal laws on marijuana. The Detroit Police Department has stated more recently, however, that the policy implications of Proposal M are still under consideration. Judiciary Committee to examine marijuana policy, this from USA Today. The Senate Judiciary Committee will examine new options for federal marijuana policy next year, following recent passage of state laws legalizing the drug for personal use, the committee's chairman said Thursday. Residents of Colorado and Washington voted last month to legalize up to 1 ounce of marijuana for personal use and allow licensing for cultivation and distribution of the drug. Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy, a Vermont Democrat, suggested one option would be to amend federal law to allow possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana, at least where it's legal under state law. From theweedblog.com, new study shows cannabis associated with lower risk of diabetes. Adults with a history of marijuana use have a lower prevalence of type 2 diabetes and possess a lower risk of contracting the disease than those with no history of cannabis consumption, according to clinical trial data published in the British Medical Journal. Investigators at the University of California, Los Angeles, assessed the association between diabetes mellitus and marijuana use among adults aged 20 to 59 in a nationally representative sample of the U.S. population. Researchers hypothesized that the prevalence of type 2 diabetes would be reduced in marijuana users because of the presence of various cannabinoids that possess immunomodulatory and anti-inflammatory properties. Investigators concluded, quote, "Our analysis of adults aged 20 to 59 years showed that participants who used marijuana had a lower prevalence of diabetes mellitus and lower odds of diabetes mellitus relative to non-marijuana users." And that's your 420 headline news for today, Friday, December 14th, 2012. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we're going to go behind the headlines on President Obama's statements about marijuana users not being a high priority for the government. Stay tuned. This is the Russ Belville Show. Plenty more coming up next.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Jive, Mary, Grifo, Grass. Hey, technically it's cannabis sativa, the common name, marijuana. She has found a crutch to see her through her difficulties instead of facing up to them and coping with them. And in time, she may be ready to try something different, something better.
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for us to go behind the headlines on this 2020 interview of Barbara Walters and Barack Obama. This is getting a lot of play in drug reform, and I just want to say, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. This is nothing. This is not news at all. There's no news in what President Obama said whatsoever. We're not going to go after recreational users? Right. The federal government hasn't been going after recreational users of marijuana ever. Very, very rarely is a recreational personal possession case taken by federal authorities. In fact, even small-time growing cases are very rarely taken by federal authorities. That's all state and local authorities. So to say that we've got a bigger priority is the exact same thing that we heard back in May of 2008 when he was running for president and he's speaking to the Medford Mail Tribune. He said the same sort of rhetoric. Well, it's not a high priority for the U.S. government to be going after the medicinal users of marijuana. We've heard this time and time again. And yet, after that promise, we found that President Obama had more raids on medical marijuana production and distribution facilities in 4 years than George W. Bush has had in 8. Now, to be fair, there are more places to raid now than there were during George W. Bush's administration. But it goes to show that there's no news in what President Obama is saying. The people that the federal government has always gone after are the large-scale cultivators, distributors, and sellers of marijuana. And they're going to keep doing that with respect to recreational marijuana in Colorado and Washington. You just mark my words on this one. That's always been their priority. They don't have the manpower to go after me and Brian and you out there smoking bowls at home. That's not what the feds do. The feds go after the people who grow the weed that eventually makes its way to us. So with President Obama coming out here saying, we've got bigger fish to fry, it wouldn't be a top priority, it's a tough problem, what are we supposed to do? That's not at all a tough problem with respect to what is currently legal in Washington and Colorado. Because all that's currently legal in Washington and Colorado is possession, and in Colorado, home growing. Where the rubber meets the road here is when Washington and Colorado has to do this by July. Washington has to do it by next December. They have to, by law, by the votes of their people, must come up with a regulatory structure for the production and distribution of marijuana at a retail level. Must. And that is something that is going to put them directly in the crosshairs of federal conspiracy laws. All the state actors that will be working to put together a system to distribute and cultivate and sell marijuana will be violating a federal conspiracy. Then what will the top priority be, Mr. Obama? Because we already know you're not going to come after us. We already know that the chance that DEA is going to bust in to take care of us for our dime bag is almost non-existent. We've been fearing the state and local cops on that measure. And in Washington and Colorado, we solved that problem by telling the state and local cops to back the fuck up and get out of our privacy. So what's going to happen when we start this regulatory system? What's going to happen when we start selling and growing on a large scale? We've already seen what happens when this is tried in the medical marijuana world. They merely talked about making a warehouse grow in Oakland, California, and the feds went nuts. Ask Dr. Fry and Dale Schaefer, doing 5 years in a federal prison for growing 20 plants at a time to help cancer patients, what they think the federal top priority is. Ask Eddie Lepp, serving time in prison right now, who is growing a big farm, a whole acre's worth of marijuana, what he thinks the Fed's top priority will be. Oh, you want to, and I love Patrick Leahy, and, you know, give him some props for speaking up there on the Judiciary Committee. You know, saying that, well, maybe under federal law, we should make it so that possession of an ounce is okay if you're in a state that's already legalized it. Well, that's not going to do a damn bit of good with respect to what the feds really care about. Like we all know, the feds don't give a shit about us having an ounce or less. So thank you, Senator Leahy, for maybe codifying that into federal law. That'd be nice. But it doesn't really change anything. It's a half step in measure. It's not even a baby step in measure. It's just merely articulating what the federal government's policy already is. We don't go after people for an ounce or less. And what a silly federal law that would be. Marijuana is completely illegal. The entire force of the federal government must come down upon you if you possess even so much of a gram of it, unless you're in Washington, Colorado. Then it's not dangerous at all. There's no consistency or logic to any of our drug policies. Not that anybody ever thought there was. But this is taking the cake. Let's get some real leadership on this issue. Now, I read Ethan Nadelman's take on Obama's comments, and he had some silver linings in there. He talked about how Obama didn't just come right out and say that federal law trumps state law, that we have to reconcile the two. We have to have a conversation about it. That is good news. That is fantastic news that at least we've moved him to the point where he feels that it's not worth laughing at, like he laughed at us in 2009. So yeah, at least it's getting a serious conversation. Of course, it's only a serious conversation, not from anything the feds or Obama has done to make it a serious conversation, but because the voters in Washington and Colorado forced the issue and made it a serious conversation. Maybe he's open to evolving on this issue, because when you read some of Obama's statements with respect to marijuana, they remind me about his statements with respect to gay marriage. He's not for it personally. He's still evolving on that issue. And soon enough, when enough public support got behind it, then suddenly he's supportive of the gay marriage issue. That's not leadership. That's following. Really? You're just going to wait until enough people in the United States decide that marijuana is not that big of an issue. Sad, Mr. Obama. Sad for someone who was a chumer in the Chum Gang. I can't imagine any of the rest of the Chum Gang are too happy with your response to federal laws on marijuana here, Mr. Obama. Let's see some leadership here. You know marijuana is not as harmful as being a Schedule I drug. You yourself smoked a lot of it. You can't possibly believe it's as bad as heroin or LSD. Let's get some real change for a change. Liebermeter's off by 25 seconds. I gotta send her a code. Oop, sorry.
She must be sick too.
Yeah, we're both sick. Hey, we're gonna take a break. Be right back.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Marijuana is harmless. That's what everybody says these days. It's fun. It's recreational. Some even call it medicine. But every year, millions of young people find out that marijuana is extremely dangerous. Every year, they find out that it's deadly. Marijuana smoke is lethal and toxic. Don't believe anything you've ever heard positive about smoking marijuana. It will kill you. Really. It's really gonna kill you. Don't smoke it. It will really, really kill you. Seriously. It's gonna kill you.
Big Daddy thinks.
Funky Roller Rink, Roller Rink, Roller Rink.
Here at the Funky Roller Rink is always cool.
They call me cool. 'Cause I got more glide, my stride, more dip in my hip.
Ooh, yeah. Fun, fun.
And I wear a mean dark pair of shades. And you can't see my eyes unless my head is bent. No jive, give me five. They call me cool. Mr. Cool.
Down jump computer. Down jump computer.
Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, folks, we're doing it live, and we're going live now to Herb Thrasher, who's hanging out on the intertubes there. How you doing, Herb?
Man, doing good, man. Just hanging out, watching you tweet all day.
Like everyone else. Hey, I want to let you know, speaking of all that tweeting all day, I didn't do any due diligence on the show today, so I didn't get your link to the song until just recently. I do have a Night Stalker tune all ready to go, Dead Rock Commandos, but that's the only one I could get a hold of.
And that is the title track from their 2012 release, and these guys are on Small Stone Records, and they're from Greece, man, international band, international stoner rock band, yeah, as they're known also. And these guys, man, are just kick-ass. We've been playing them on our show pretty much since this album came out sometime in maybe April or May, and it's definitely one of my favorite releases of the 2012 year, and it's just heavy sounds, man, groove rhythms, you know, a lot of bass playing and just heavy riffs and just solid stoner rock kind of music. They've been around since the early 90s, and it's a four-piece band. And as we mentioned, they're on Small Stone Records, and this is their sixth release. and looking forward to more stuff from them, because these guys definitely know how to rock it.
Yeah.
And tonight, definitely talk a little bit more about it. On Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, we will be discussing a lot of 2012 music, man. It's been a great year for music, actually, in my opinion. And we'll kind of recap, go over some of the tunes that we've played through the year, and talk about some of the better releases, in my opinion, through the 2012, and just chat it up, man. I can't think of a better week to where everyone needs some kind of show, maybe to just release, or some kind of party.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to bring definitely more so tonight on Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. So you guys join us. Make sure you turn up and support Night Stalker and hug your family.
Right on, man. This is Night Stalker, Dead Rock Commandos, and more great rock like this tonight, live 8 p.m. Pacific on the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Turn it up! This isn't exactly a fair track to play from Night Stalker. I remember when Herb and I did this show, he got a download link from the instrumental tracks from the band. So that's the instrumental track to Dead Rock Commandos. Doesn't give you much of an idea of how the band really sounds, though. Not quite fair. So like I said, we're doing it live today. We're going to do a double shot. Double shot. This is the original song that Herb wanted us to play today. We finally got it downloaded. It's Night Stalker with Go Get Some. We'll be right back.
last seven major party candidates to run for president, three of the last seven vice presidential candidates, and the last three presidents have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. This is the Russ Belville Show.
Get the session started because it's 420.
Since 1974, High Times Magazine has been the chronicle of the cannabis community. The Russ Belville Show visits with West Coast editor Dave Bienenstock for a look forward to the next issue and the next marijuana events in our High Times preview.
Now, David couldn't join us live today, so we did a pre-recorded interview a couple of days ago, me and Dave Bienenstock, so we'll turn you over to that right now. All right, welcome back, everybody. Half past the hour here on this beautiful Friday afternoon, and as we do on the second Fridays of the month, we always visit with our friends at High Times Magazine to get the latest High Times issue preview. Joining us from the West Coast, our West Coast editor, Dave Bienenstock's on the line. Dave, welcome back to the show.
Oh, always great to be here, Russ.
All right, so the latest issue that's out on the newsstands is the February 2013 issue, because, of course, you guys publish in advance, 2 or 3 months in advance. So what are people looking for on the newsstands this month?
Well, I mean, most prominently, it is our annual Hydro Report, which is extremely popular with all our hydroponic growers, and it should be popular with the people who enjoy the end product as well, because we're, as always, you know, we're focusing not just on how to grow, but how to grow top quality cannabis. And so that's really throughout the issue with the overall Hydro Report, and then some look at some specific hydroponic gardens, tips from Danny Danko and our other cultivation experts. So that's definitely the big focus of the issue, but we certainly have something for everybody.
Right. Now, this is the first issue you guys went to print with, and probably right as you were going to print is when the election happened. So anything in there about legalization in Washington and Colorado, or is that going to have to wait for future issues?
Well, we snuck a little something into the editor's letter because, I mean, we were very excited, obviously. It's the first time I think I've talked to you since L Day.
Yeah.
But our main coverage of it will be coming in the March issue. And also we have a new, I actually have a new ebook out. It's out right now. You can get it anywhere ebooks are sold, Amazon, iTunes. It's called Legalized It, because I think that somebody needs to re-record that song.
There we go. Legalized It, past tense. And so if people pick up this ebook, what are they going to learn about the legalization campaigns?
Sure. Well, you get actually the first section is a long section about, it's a lot about the campaign. It definitely looks forward to, you know, what the laws are now, what the laws, how they'll develop over the next year. But, I mean, as you and your very well-informed listeners know, a lot of that's to be determined. And of course, we do have whatever reaction or non-reaction there's going to be from the federal government. So the book really focuses on the campaign, the people who made this happen, the effort that it took, and sort of this new political reality we're in, where there's a marijuana majority and there's a marijuana mandate. And sort of the premise of the book is that politicians are starting to catch on to that, and that we will continue to grow as a political movement. I mean, I you know, it got more votes than Obama in Colorado. That doesn't go unnoticed. You know, if you want to say you are the legitimate government of the United States and can make all these decisions based on the number of votes you got, and marijuana legalization gets more votes than the president, you know, our time has come. And then the book also includes, so that's the big section in the front, has two long essays about the campaign and legalization and sort of this political movement, and then a really interesting interview with Pete Holmes, who's the city attorney up in Seattle, who was a big part of making this happen. And then the rest of the book is a collection of my best feature stories from the past 10 years in High Times, and really selected not just to be, you know, what I think people would most want to read, but something that sort of represents all the people and all of this culture that is emerging. And we'll hopefully show, you know, I really hope that High Times readers, I know, will enjoy the book, and I'm really hoping that it gets out to an audience that is curious about what marijuana culture is really about, the people behind it, the stories behind it. I've always found it really fascinating. The best part of this job, which I really love, is meeting people. And I'm trying to bring some of those stories into this debate, because I think when you hear about legalization, even a good story from the Associated Press or even from a magazine that you like that's not, as we say, fully embedded, they're only going to get you part of the story. And, you know, High Times, it's almost going to be 40 years for us. It's been 10 years for me at the magazine. And so I want to make sure that the focus is on the broad marijuana culture, because we've been oppressed for a really long time, and this is our moment to sort of come out and show what we're all about, and I think people are already positively reacting to that.
All right, the ebook is called Legalized It by David Bienenstock, available for your Kindle and other readers, I suppose, and available out on Amazon. Is it also, can they get it through the High Times website yet?
It will be available on the High Times website. We're doing a kind of a cool marketing thing through Facebook, so there's a really cool Facebook page for it. You'll be able to get it through High Times. But if you know you want it, you know, whether you have a Kindle or one of the other ebook readers, or you read them online, just find the retailer that sells the kind of ebook that works for your device, and they'll have it.
All right. Sounds excellent. Now, you're also involved with the High Times Medical Marijuana Quarterly, and you're calling us from California. So I'm wondering, with that perspective, being in California and, you know, the focus on medical marijuana, how do you think legalization in Washington and Colorado shakes out for the medical communities?
Well, I mean, my default philosophy is that legalization, full real legalization, would be the best thing to happen to patients. Because what we're talking about is safe access with as few barriers as possible. And we're also talking about not being a second-class citizen because you are a medical marijuana patient. And so I think that, you know, we have to make sure that these laws are written in a way that protect patients. But I also think that everyone should really understand that the best way to have your rights as a medical marijuana patient is when everyone has those rights, and that what you want is safe, easy, barrier-free access to high-quality, you know, well-distributed cannabis, and the ability to grow your own. You know, we want to keep... I really hope that... you know, one thing I sort of noticed is I seem to see a fair number of people who were against some of these legalization initiatives now celebrating them. And, you know, it's easy to get frustrated by that. But it's also good to see, because I think, you know, as a movement, we can start to come to our senses and start to realize that dividing our power is not a good idea, that... you know, if you're getting 98% of what you want, that's in politics a pretty tremendous thing. So it's like, I think that hopefully, you know, some of the lessons learned along the way have been learned. And, you know, I personally 100% hope that California goes through to full legalization as soon as possible, whether that's going to take 2 years or 4 years, whether it's going to happen through the state legislature or at the ballot box, I can't predict, and I don't know, but I think that, you know, as somebody living in California and a part of this community, I feel a lot of excitement building for legalization here.
You know, another aspect to legalization, of course, is what effect it will have internationally. And in the new issue of High Times, this February issue, there's a great feature story on Juarez, Mexico, just across the border in Mexico. Juarez, right across from El Paso, the most violent city in the world, the murder capital of the world, as far as I understand. And so with respect to, you know, legalization taking effect now in Washington, Colorado, we've heard some rumblings out of Mexico, how that might affect them. And the newest president, Peña Nieto, has said, no, he's just going to keep going on with cracking down on cultivation and distribution. So how do you see this, you know, shaking out for the people of Mexico? And can we get any insight from this article in the High Times?
Well, yeah, it's a really excellent article. I personally, you know, it's going to take, you know, even if, like, if you look at our situation in Afghanistan, say, we've been drawing down forces there. It's going to take more than a year to draw down forces. That's, you know, we're not, I would love it to happen, but I very much doubt there's going to be a moment where everybody collectively involved in prosecuting the war on drugs stops at once and says, oh my God, we're sorry. That was stupid and counterproductive and destructive to people's lives. But what we will see is an erosion of support for doing these things that's going to have effects. And just the fact that we're having, as somebody, as you know, who's been around this for a while, the debate that's happening now vis-a-vis the war on drugs versus even 10 years ago is night and day.
Yeah.
The seriousness with which this is being debated, and that could be very frustrating as you watch these terrible things continue to happen and people's lives ended or disrupted or ruined, and most particularly the people in Mexico and other countries who are in no way involved in the drug trade and have their life. It's very frustrating to say, well, there's this debate that's happened. But that's how change really happens. And so while it's frustrating that you know, these policies continue to be implemented, I'm at least encouraged that people are openly talking about changing our policy in a very significant way and that there's not sort of this knee-jerk reaction against it anymore. And I think, you know, politicians are not, they didn't get their jobs by making bold, controversial stands. They just didn't. So it's always going to be the people leading the way and the politicians following when it comes to this. So, you know, I think that's another part. When we look at what happened in Colorado and Washington, it's not just about Colorado and Washington, and it's not just about pot. It's about chipping away significantly at this drug war that has brought us nothing but misery.
All right. One last question here. I recently here in Portland had the opportunity to go see Tommy Chong live at the Helium Comedy Club, and he made some mention of this. But also in High Times, there's an article about Tommy Chong and how he's now fighting prostate cancer. How's Tommy doing? Did you get a chance to talk to him yourself? And what can people learn from the article?
Well, the interview was with my colleague Dan Skye, who is actually, you know, known Tommy Chong quite a long time, and I think at this point he is the most. He's not on the cover of this issue, but he's been on the cover more than anyone, and you know, that's been as a performer, that's been as a defendant, that's been as a prisoner, that's been as an activist, and now as a medical marijuana user, and of course, you know. I myself, and I'm sure everyone who enjoys High Times and has enjoyed any of those roles that he's played, just wishes him well. And you can learn more about his condition in the magazine. And you know, he seems to be doing well with his treatment. And you know, Tommy Chong is definitely somebody close to our hearts at High Times, and somebody who, like I said, I think the most impressive thing is he's been every side of this war on pot, from a punchline to someone who did 9 months in prison, you know, for selling bongs, allegedly. I mean, I guess it's not allegedly anymore, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
And now he's talking very openly about his medical marijuana use. So we of course we wish him well.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing perspective he's got, and he talks about how you know, a lot of the problems that he had with the cancer took place, you know, while he was in prison and unable to use cannabis. So, you know, it might just be anecdotal, but there seems to be something there.
In prison is not good for your health. Especially if you didn't do anything to deserve to be in there.
Exactly. Not helpful at all. Well, Dave Bienenstock is the West Coast editor for High Times Magazine. Also, High Times Medical Marijuana Quarterly, which you can pick up at fine bookstores everywhere. Also, go to hightimes.com for the digital edition if you want to save some trees, you know, the paper kind of trees. And Dave, one last thing. Thanks so much for printing my article on page 19 there on the Border Patrol. Glad to get that in there.
Oh, yeah. Well, excellent work.
All right. Thanks. We'll talk to you
again.
Always
happy to have your voice in the magazine.
Thank you so much, man. We'll talk to you again next week, next month. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care, Russ.
Big thanks to Dave Bienenstock for joining us in that pre-recorded interview on the High Times. New issue is out now. It's the Hydro Report. And on page 19, you'll find my article on the Border Patrol as well. On the second to back page, you'll find Big Daddy Fink's poster for the Medical Cannabis Cup taking place in L.A. It's the 16th and 17th. We'll be down there February 16th and 17th bringing live coverage of the L.A. Medical Cannabis Cup. So
we'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Ride a little rant.
Hi, folks. This isn't something I will do very often. And if you're not in the mood to talk about guns in our society, if you're tired of the whole issue, you should probably just turn it off right now. Like I said, I very rarely venture outside of the marijuana issue on this show. But today, I just can't not talk about this. So forgive me. Because this morning, around 30 people were killed when a shooter entered an elementary school in Connecticut, going from room to room and shooting 5 to 8-year-old kids execution style. Now, this is a show and a blog about marijuana prohibition, but it's also a unique opportunity for a discussion outside the standard right-left dichotomy in politics. Because in the cannabis community, besides our common love of marijuana and hatred of prohibition, we are representing just about every other demographic in America. We are black, white, straight, gay, old, young, single, married, religious, atheist, male, female, Republican, Democrat, rich, poor. We span the whole spectrum of people. We're more diverse than just about any online community. So I think we could actually have a very viable discussion here as compared to maybe, say, a discussion on Fox News or MSNBC, where it's going to be politicized highly to one side or the other. And I think that's the biggest problem in this issue, is that each side jumps to fighting the most extreme straw man on the other side whenever this issue comes up. So I just need to work this out and just talk about this a little bit. We'll take it into hour two and get your calls and opinions on this as well. So to begin with, before anybody makes any assumptions, I like guns. I grew up in Idaho, where my grandpa and my uncles were all hunters. I can still remember my grandpa's gun cabinet that was in his little room. He had his own little TV room, and he had a big old gun cabinet there. And I can remember the 6 rifles and shotguns and number of pistols that were all there in that gun cabinet. But you know what I don't remember? Ever touching one of those guns. Because that cabinet was locked all the time. And the only person who ever touched Grandpa's guns was Grandpa.
So, in fact, the only whipping I was ever threatened with had to do with that from my grandpa. So I know guns. I've grown up around them. At age 12, I took my first hunter safety education course. Later that year, my dad and I are out in the backwoods shooting cans with my first 22. I even hunted big game once, but hunting doesn't really interest me. And it's not like I've got some, you know, soft heart for Bambi or anything. It's just traipsing around in the cold in the woods for hours at a time is boring as hell. And by age 17, I joined the Army National Guard. I got to fire M16s on full auto and lob a grenade. That's a lot of fun. And by age 21, I was attending sergeant school, NCO school, and I got to tote around and fire an M60 machine gun with live rounds. So before we go too far on this, I'm no hyper-liberal ban-all-guns type. That's Wiz Calico. In fact, I actually would allow law-abiding citizens to have some guns, like fully automatic weapons, that are currently banned. But where I and folks that get called gun nuts, and that's a term I despise, I don't like to call people gun nuts, I prefer gun fans. But where we seem to diverge is on that well-regulated part in the Second Amendment. Yeah, I'd let you have an M60, but the permitting, the licensing, the registration, the annual renewals that I'd institute would be tougher to navigate than getting a Manhattan building permit. Why is it that we have one guy try to light his shoe bomb on a plane and I got to take off my shoes at TSA? Another guy tries a printer bomb and I got to take out my laptop and everything. Some other guys try some liquid bombs, so now I can't carry any liquids over 3 ounces. One dude's got an underwear bomb, so now I got to go through the rape eye scanner. But we've had 31 school shootings since Columbine, and we've made guns easier to get. However, every time we get to this discussion in America, every time you try to engage the discussion for stricter gun regulations, the first thing that comes up is, no, we can't talk about it now. It's too soon to talk about it. Let's not politicize the issue. Folks, by telling people you can't talk about an issue, you are politicizing an issue. We can't do anything about the issue if we're not allowed to talk about it. And when will be the right time? Because I was just told 2 days ago when there was a shooting in my hometown that it was too soon to talk about it. I thought maybe 2 days later we could talk about it, but oh, another shooting. When do we get to talk about this? And I'm all for talking about it, having a rational discussion about it, but anytime this discussion gets brought up, I hear the same tropes over and over again. First, they want to say, oh, you want to ban all guns. No, I want to do something about randomly sprayed bullets around children. That's what I want to do something about. I don't want to ban all guns. Can we do something about randomly sprayed bullets? That's my issue. Most of the people I know who own guns that are, in fact, what I'd call super gun fans, because like I said, I grew up in Idaho. I know the guys. I know the guys with an arsenal. I'm friends with some of these people. They are the last people who would ever go on a shooting spree in a mall or shoot someone down, right? No, that's not the issue to me. The people who are the respectful of the Second Amendment and are law-abiding gun owners, that's not the problem. The problem is randomly sprayed bullets by crazy people. How can we fix that situation? How should we address that situation? That's what I want to know. And there's so much mythology and stats and things that get thrown around that some people think are true and some people don't think are true. And as I read the internet, you know, because I live on the internet for the most part, I see Twitter going by, you know, it's almost like the Matrix where you're watching the streams come by and you're finding out how the world is reacting to this. One of the points that was made was by my friend Pam Spaulding, who runs the Pam's House Blend blog out there at Fire Dog Lake, a gay and lesbian blog. And, you know, she says, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change. We're not going to do anything. What? A bunch of kids got slaughtered in Connecticut? We're not going to change. We're not going to do anything. Congress does not have the political will to do a damn thing about this. They had one of their own shot in the brain, Gabby Giffords in Arizona. And that didn't give them any political will to solve this problem. So what are we going to do? Or do we just have to accept that in America, when you go to the mall, go to the theater, send your kid to school, they might get shot that day. It's just it's like flash floods or, you know, forest fires or, you know, acts of God. It's going to happen. Somebody's going to, you know, walk in and start spraying bullets. It's just the price we have to pay for the freedom of the Second Amendment. And if that's the argument, please make it. Because so far, I only get two arguments from most of these folks, and they one, accuse me of wanting to ban all guns, or number two, Let's arm everybody. Let's have more guns. Let's spray more bullets around. That'll solve the problem. That'll do it. Let's have more guns and more bullets. More scared people. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Bowling for Columbine, Michael Moore's documentary on this, after Columbine, and so much of it is still relevant, but there's this excellent little cartoon. It's about 3 minutes long, and it's the excellent little cartoon of scared America. Why we're so scared, why we all think we, you know, any minute now, somebody's going to break in and kill us, or the tyrannical federal government's going to take us over. We got to have our guns, because if we don't have our guns, oh my God, terrible things will happen. Look, I'm going to get into more detail on this as we get into hour two. I've got a list of the top, what I call the top 10 tropes of the gun debate. The top 10 things I hear that, and again, I'm not saying one way or the other yet. What I'm saying here is, if we're going to have this discussion, let's have this discussion on a rational basis instead of fighting the extreme straw men on either side. Nobody wants to ban all guns. Well, I don't want to ban all guns. Maybe some people do. I don't want to ban all guns. But neither do I want to have crazy people spraying bullets in public places. Can we work on that together? Can we come up with a solution we can all live with? That's what we're going to talk about in hour two. And if you're looking for a marijuana show, I apologize. 1,020 shows? Every now and then I do one that's not about weed. Oh, that's all the time we got here. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you